Kevin, from the day when you had an opportunity to select Patrick Laine, there's been so much talk about his year and what he's done for the team and the league. From where he was on that day of draft to where he is flying back home today, can you kind of put into words what you saw?
Well, again, obviously you don't get that opportunity too often to draft a very special player like Patrick. And again, his play, I think, you know, spoke for itself from the moment that he stepped on the ice. You know, here you knew you had a special talent from a hockey standpoint. But I think the things for us that, you know, you truly don't know and recognize and understand until you get to, you know, be around a player for the period of time that we have is that, you know, he's a wonderful person. He cares deeply about his game. He cares deeply about the team's game. And, you know, he's got a passion to want to learn, a passion to want to get better, a passion to want to be the best. And he's a driven individual, and he's a proud individual, and he's a humble individual. And for us, as a franchise, you know, it's a big key piece in helping us get to, you know, where we want to get to in the long run.
Hey, Kevin. In 2014, we didn't even have to ask you. I think you opened the press conference with announcing an extension for Paul Maurice. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with 1 year left, where are you, or have you started negotiations with Paul, and where do you see him going into next year with or without an extension?
Well, we're very early in certainly in that process. You know, Paul Maurice is you know, is the coach of this hockey team, and you know, what, where, how we go to the next steps. You know, those are things that we'll have discussions as we go. But I, you know, again, for me, you know, Paul's got my full support. I think I said that back when it was probably at the trade deadline when I was asked, you know, similar questions. And you know, I think it really, you know, goes to, you know, what we've asked Paul to do over his period of time here. And, you know, again, this hasn't been something that we've knee-jerked and said, okay, we're going to go in this direction now, or we're going to change and go in this direction. You know, really, when Paul and I sat down and talked, when he took over the team, we talked about, you know, the steps that were going to be necessary, you know, in order to build this franchise and continue to, you know, to push it in the direction that we wanted. And it was really at that point in time, you know, his enthusiasm and his willingness, and I say willingness for a veteran coach, you know, to take on that task and to understand that it wasn't going to be smooth. And, you know, there's going to be steps along the way that you'd like accelerated, and there's going to be steps along the way that, you know, certainly some coaches that maybe aren't as secure in their own skin or belief or where they're at in their careers, you know, wouldn't want to take on. They wouldn't want to maybe take some of the youth, you know, opportunities that we had in front of us and really, you know, not coach for the best interest of the team. You know, Paul's coach for the best interest of this team and the best interest of the future of this team when, you know, as we have asked him. So what that means for the future, there's going to be other conversations that are going to happen. Today's, you know, certainly it's not a fun day to be standing here and obviously talking about that. But again, it is there are some positives here that, you know, we will look at and we won't maybe relish in today. But we're certainly going to, you know, look and try to build, you know, together in that regard.
You knew there was going to be growing pains this year with the youth movement. I mean, just your overall assessment of the season, where you felt you kind of hit maybe a home run, whatever, in areas and would maybe.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to stand here and, you know, really, you know, look at it and you know, be, you know, obviously you want to be playing. You want to be looking at your next opponent. You want to be looking at that. That's what you set out to go for. You do understand that, you know, there's going to be trials and tribulations along the way. There's, you know, you dissect the game, whether you're going to dissect it into 10 game segments or first half, second half, or all these different things. Those are the things that we're sitting back and we look at, and you know, some of it, you know, you wish maybe you could have done some things better, but in others, you know, you're pretty damn pleased with how you weathered, you know, some different things. And when we talk about the youth and we talk about the development of this organization, when we took over, we were clamoring to be able to have young players that we could look at and say, hey, we want to build this franchise with. And that has taken time. It's taken time not only to draft them. Unfortunately, you don't get that opportunity to draft, all your players all at once. And not everyone comes available at those different times. And sometimes you have to wait. And sometimes, as we have seen, the wait is definitely worth it. But you can only implement what you have when you have it. And when you do have it, you should be looking at pushing it forward in our instances here. Because, again, if you're looking for the greater goal of trying to achieve something, you want to build a core. You want to build it that it's as big as you possibly can. With like ages, like personalities, people that are driven towards the common goal of an organization, and you have to be able to go through that process to be able to do it. And drafting and developing is the way that we chose. It's the plan that we set out. We sprinkled around with different signings as we go, whether it's an acquisition of a player from the outside or whether it's a retention of a player. Those players have proven themselves, or we've looked at the opportunities and had that opportunity to bring those players in. But again, when you have a Line A, when you have an Ehlers, when you have a Morrissey, when you have a Shifley, when you have a Trouba, when you have a Lowry, when you have a Hellebuck, all those players were part of this, a movement towards drafting and developing them into our organization. And if I didn't mention a name, it's not because I didn't think of it, but, when you really sit back and look at it, that's what we set out to do, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
You reaped with a bunch of those names, you reaped a bunch of rewards, seeing a lot of things from guys like Josh Morrissey, Patrick Laine, and so on and so on, Jacob Trouba. With the benefit of hindsight now, do you feel like maybe you went a little too all-in with goaltending, maybe handing Connor Hellebuck a little bit too much too soon?
Well, again, I think, anybody who can manage in hindsight, is a better manager than anybody that's in pro sports. You don't manage in hindsight. You learn from experiences, and you certainly grow from experiences. But you also need to understand that you have to take steps to move forward. And you have to make decisions. You don't sit and try and say, well, I hope, or you make that decision. You surround people with the best opportunities that they can. And again, it's not like unlike a player, you have to give them, or a skater. I mean, you have to give them that opportunity to grow. This, the decision that we made to move forward with the goaltending and how we chose to do it this year, it was not done in a vacuum. It was done with lots of conversation within the group, understanding that if we didn't do it at that point in time, that 1 year forward, we would be sitting here today or tomorrow, meaning in at the beginning of the season, and saying, can Connor Hellebuck take us to that next level? Is he going to be that number one? Well, we didn't give him that opportunity to play the games this year. We don't know. Well, we better give him those opportunities in order to find out. We made that decision. We knew within, last year, sitting here at this time or sitting in the summertime, Connor Hellebuck was going to need waivers next year. Obviously the expansion draft comes into play. So, you have to make decisions. You have to make choices. We made that choice. We've given him a great opportunity to play more games, I think, than any other player at a young age. And it's incumbent upon him. It's incumbent upon the organization to take those next steps and to grow from those positives and grow from the challenges that were there in for him personally.
23, I mean, of course, there's lots of room for improvement and growth in his game, but are you learning what you've learned this year? Are you comfortable going into next season with Connor as your number one? And as a second part of that question, if you are searching out maybe help or competition, how difficult is it to find that veteran number one goalie that every team that makes long runs to the playoffs, obviously Pittsburgh was a different example last season, but need that solid veteran number one kind of goaltending to be successful?
Well, every veteran goaltender has gone through these trials and tribulations in their career, and in order to stay in the league, those veterans have learned how to get better. You know, what direction we choose to go. Again, we'll look at all the different options that that are available to us. It's a very unique year in the sense of the expansion draft and the possibilities that no one really knows how those are going to play out. So those are something that you talk about. We will look at a lot of different scenarios to see if there's a chance to push it to move forward, whether it's a veteran, whether it's a young guy. Again, these are things that I can't sit here and tell you in 100% certainty what's going to happen, because there's so many different things that can unfold. But again, we're going to look at all the different options.
Just last one for me. You talk about building that new core. You have a very solid young group of guys that I imagine will become the new core of the Winnipeg Jets. You got a lot of decisions to make in the future regarding contracts, salary cap. A lot of these guys will be earning raises. How much are you thinking about that now when you start looking to the future? And have you got to the point where you've created those assets, you've drafted and developed to eventually not, and Paul Maurice alluded to it before, not everyone's going to be here in that young group. Mm-hmm. Have you found yourself in a position or close to being able to dish off some of those assets, or find yourself in a position to kind of build around that core?
Well, I think that, again, to talk to your first part, salary cap management is probably one of the, biggest and foremost responsibilities, for a general manager at the National Hockey League level. And certainly in a situation that we're in, when you look to acquire young talent and they have excelled under the staff that's here and the opportunities that are given them, that's a good thing. Again, if you have young talent that doesn't challenge you and push you to from a contractual situation and stuff like that, then maybe you'd be a little concerned that are they the right people to push us moving forward. We've been very conscious in trying to understand that bad decision, one long-term financial decision, can have major ramifications and ripples all the way through. And it's like when you drop a little pebble into a water, you get the small ripples maybe start happening right there, but they keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger as they expand and the longer you go out. So you want to make sure that the decisions that you make today, instant gratification is something that we all think is just the be-all, end-all, and that there's that magic pill, there's that magic cure to cure all ills with respect to your team, but no team has found it yet. And you want to make sure we have some good young players. We will make the necessary steps and necessary decisions to keep those good young players. And as an organization, that's been our promise. That's been our mandate. That's been something we've said from day one. Those days are coming. Now, it's always a busy summer for general managers. When the puck, the final whistle blows, whether you're raising the Stanley Cup or whether you're in a situation where you wish you could continue to move forward, the busyness does start. This summer, again, with the levels of the expansion, that creates another another layer of decisions, another layer of things you have to deal with, but we deal with them.
Kevin, how would you assess the season Jacob Trouba had, and are you confident you can keep him here for the long term?
Yeah, Jacob Trouba had a fantastic year. I thought that, the only regret I have is that we never got a chance to see our full complement of defense together to really see, how it all can play out. But Jacob, personally, I thought, did very well and relished the opportunity that was given to him, flourished in the opportunity and continued to grow. I think that, again, we've never deviated from the fact that, when we talk about the first two players that we drafted in this organization being obviously Mark Scheifele and Jacob Trouba, we believe that those two players are going to be, the ultimate drivers on this team. So, he's got another year on his contract here and at different points in time, you have different conversations. So we'll see. I can't sit here and tell you, we're going to open contract negotiations tomorrow. Again, we might. Those are things that, do unfold and stay behind the scenes and close to the vest. But I think we see, I know we see, the Jacob Trouba that we drafted and are proud to have, in this organization.
Last year, extending Matthew Perreault was a priority. Brian Little has expressed interest in being here for the long term. Is that someone you'd like to hone in on in the summer as well?
Yeah, I like obviously Brian's fit in very well here. I think he's one of those players around the league that has a quiet type of appreciation that when coaches are setting up against your team and stuff like that, that they talk about, and hearing like things that Jamie says about how playing against us and different things like that, how they looked at players and looked at our team, and hearing how other coaches thought about it. Brian's name is always one of those that's just like, when you start the game, you might think he's one way. When you finish the game, the coaches always comment how effective he is. He can play a really solid 200-foot game, a smart player, conscientious player, and he's someone that again we chose to extend once when that opportunity came, and again, it goes back to the salary cap management question. You have to be judicious in how it works, but when both sides are desirous of getting something done, generally something happens that works out for both sides.
You said Paul Maurice has your support. So how would you assess the overall coaching staff and the assistants, the job that they did this year as well?
Well, again, I look at when you're building a staff, you put a lot of onus on, the people that you hire to surround themselves with the people that they feel they're going to be successful with. So Paul and I have lots of conversations about whether it's his staff or, and even in my staff, I'll sit down and talk with him and pick his brain about, his experiences in different organizations. I think, obviously, this year, Pascal Vincent, moving towards our development side, we knew we were going to have some very young players there. And I think Pascal's done a good job in those regards with respect to developing, a couple of 19-year-olds, a couple of 20-year-olds, very young team there. I think Jamie, coming in as a new person has provided a lot of different, perspectives. Charlie, again, for us, the hard part is I go back to one of the things that, I guess you can say I wish, but you can't really wish, is that you had a full complement of defense to really truly understand, the benefits of how Josh Morrissey has improved and how Jacob Trouba is emerged. Obviously, Dustin Byfuglien this year played the most minutes out of any defenseman in the National Hockey League, but also I think, had a career best when it comes to plus minus. So there's the give and takes that always happen, and sometimes you look at the individuals and say, well, the coach has done this or hasn't done that. So I thought with what Charlie's been given a different task on a different basis, I thought he's done an admirable job there, but. And then on the goaltending side, again, we've touched on it. We chose to go young. I think it's the youngest tandem in the National Hockey League. And again, there's challenges that go with it. I think really when you talk about the coaching staff and the job that they've done, and obviously Woody, Todd Woodcroft, touch on him just a touch here, is, you look at some of the incremental things that, we've improved, like Adam Lowry in his face-off percentage, little things like that maybe go by the wayside, the individual coaching that we've been able to give to some of these young players has helped them grow. One of the things, I guess, if there was a wish that, you could kind of turn back time, and it's not necessarily anything that we had control over, but when you want to evaluate a staff, you want to evaluate how the ability for us is certainly is how they could teach and how they can help grow these players. And, a lot was made of our schedule at the beginning of the year, and justifiably so. Like, obviously, I think we, for the first time in NHL history, I think it was, I can't remember what number of games and 63 nights it was, but no other team had done it. And there's a fatigue factor and there's a tiredness factor that comes into play. But for me, I think the biggest area that we really didn't benefit from or struggled from or got hurt by was the fact that we were so young going into it and we had no practice time. I constantly made jokes with a couple of different people, throughout the industry, and one of them was Butch Goring, who I'd coached with, and I said, and we had, and I guess it's a longer story, but when Butch and I were in Denver and Salt Lake City together in the IHL, we had a real veteran hockey team, and that veteran hockey team didn't want to practice, they just wanted to play games. So I said, Butch, I said, this team, you know, they would have loved, you know, the Denver team would have loved this. He said, we got an 18-year-old, we've got a 19-year-old, we've got a couple of 20-year-olds, we've got, you know, a first-year 24-year-old. I said, they think this National Hockey League thing is great. All you do is show up to the rink, play games, you don't have to practice. Like, man, you know, like, what's wrong with this gig? There's nothing wrong with this gig. But when it comes to, you know, certainly the individual things like goaltending, it's major. When you don't have a veteran guy that has had those experiences, that has had, you know, the rigors of knowing how to play, when, you know, when I should maybe rest a little more, where I should play, you know, how do you fix something in practice when you don't practice, when you have a pregame skate that you're just getting ready for the game? You know, how does a coach, you know, teach a Laine or an Ehlers or a Morrissey, you know, the nuances of, well, you should have been here as opposed to here? You pointed out on video. And again, for us, that I really think, you know, when you sit back and look at it, I think that hurt us. I think that really hurt, you know, again, that opportunity to get on a streak, that opportunity to, you know, really teach those fundamentals to those young players when it's there. It's kind of like if you went to school and the teacher never said anything to you and he just said, well, just read the notes, teach yourself. You know, and when you play the games at a young age, that's the way it is. Now, at some point in time, those guys are going to say, well, this is great. You know, we've learned, we've gone through the rigors and we know. And, so again, I got on this because you asked about the coaching staff. So I think that they've, you know, done a good job with what, you know, what's been given to them.
You're touching on that, the growth of players. So you had a lot of young guys take really big steps forward this year. Sounds like you're giving the credit for that to the coaching staff. Is that true?
You know what? The credit goes to the players. The players, you know, again, they have to take what the coaches are giving and they have to apply it. The players are the ones that, you know, need to learn, you know, what it's going to take. You know, I need to go to bed at this time so that I can be ready to play. Coaches can give guidance. Players ultimately have to, you know, to do it. Like, and so I don't think you're going to, you know, I don't think, you know, any one of the coaches would say they're going to take credit for any one individuals, and neither should I. I, you know, when we get fortunate to draft a player in the position that we do, you know, all I can hope for is, and I don't even have to hope, I know that we've done the right preparation and have put them in the proper order so that given that opportunity to select them, we select them. And I know that, you know, when the coaches, you know, given that opportunity, when the player gets a chance to perform, I know the coaches are giving them the information that they need. But ultimately, it's the players. And I don't think you'll ever see a coach that takes, you know, the credit for that. Mark Scheifele, you know, invested in himself. You know, he went from that 18-year-old kid to the 19-year-old kid to the 20-year-old, you know, young man, to the 21-year-old man, to the 22-year-old driver of, you know, 23-year-old driver of this team. But again, it's taken, you know, him to do that, and the credit goes to him. The credit goes to Jacob Trouba for, you know, what he's done. You know, these guys have talent. Coaches are here to help guide them, but ultimately, in the end, the player deserves all the credit.
Paul says he's comfortable going to next year without an extension. Would you be comfortable with that, or is there a deadline in your mind where you'd like to get this sorted out?
Well, again, we'll talk about that internally. We'll talk about that collectively. Today, you know, I think the focus is more is that, you know, there is no misconception that Paul Maurice is our coach. And, you know, how we choose to, you know, move forward with it, we'll have some good discussions there. But, you know, obviously today is about, you know, kind of retrospective, and we'll go from there.
You talked about when you brought him in here and what, you know, the ups and downs that you were expecting. From how it's unfolded in these first 3 years, is it within the parameters of what you expected?
Well, I think you're always hoping that, you know, the bumps are a lot smoother. You know, you can't, you know, I think there's, you know, I've seen some different analogies where, you know, people talk about their careers and they think that it's just going to go like this, when reality the line goes like this. I can't, you know, there's so many things in this game that you can't predict. There's so many things that you just, you know, you don't know. You know, there's challenges along the way that, you know, some of them are, you know, professional challenges of players when it comes to their injuries or their own particular play. There is the personal side of the game that does come into play. We've dealt with a few things. You know, but one thing that's always going to remain is that, you know, whether when there's professional challenges that come, we're going to try and address them head on and either help the player or find different opportunities to try to smooth those challenges out. When there's personal challenges, whether it's a player or a coach or anything, we're a family here and we're going to support these people. And you know, for us, you know, again, it's a tight group. It's a group that cares deeply. One thing that I don't think has really been stated as well as needs to be stated is the job that Blake Wheeler did as captain. For me, I thought he did an outstanding job, you know, as captain. You know, being a captain in a National Hockey League team is a very prestigious thing. And Blake, you know, cares deeply. And, you know, again, these are days where I wish we could tell you, you know, about how Blake, you know, plays injured or how he does the different things. Or, you know, you get the injury report from the trainers the night after a game and say, well, Blake took a shot on the foot, you know, no problem for tomorrow. You know, there's very rarely do you see where, you know, we'll evaluate it tomorrow. Like, those are the type of things that, you know, you need out of your leader and you want out of your leader. And the fact that he is one of the premier players in the National Hockey League from a points perspective and a driving perspective, I think we're very fortunate to have it here. And again, a good role model for when you talk about young players when you have him around.
You have an idea of where you want to go with the roster that you have now as they develop. Do you have everything you need to get there, or are there holes that you feel you need to fill from the outside?
Well, I think you're always looking to fill. I think that, again, whether you're a young player, whether you were a veteran player, the message, you know, and I haven't had a chance to meet with all the players yet, but the ones that I have met with, whether you're old or you're young, you know, there was the constant message was that there's, you know, we're looking for you to have to compete. We're looking for you to have to push yourself to the next level. We're not looking, you know, the moment that you want to become complacent, you know, you've probably signed your I guess your way out of, you know, maybe not the way out, but the way out of, you know, the position that you truly want to be in. So we're going to look to try to, you know, create competition. We're going to look to try to get this organization to a point where, you know, as a first round or second round pick or a high pick, you know, that, you know, the expectation isn't going to be that he's going to play this year or next year. The expectation will be that, you know, when we're talking here a couple of years from now, I say, well, you know what, like the Jets like to let their young players play in the American Hockey League and grow. But until you can get to that point, you know, and we're not there yet, you have to keep on pushing. Now, if a young player comes to training camp next year and wows us and pushes us ahead of where, you know, if he pulls to Josh Morrissey, we're going to find a way to make it happen.
What can you tell us about your preparations for the expansion draft? I'm assuming, yeah, the best possible scenario is to protect 7 and 3. Is there a way you can do that?
Well, you know, there'll be lots of discussions, you know, about that, whether it's going to end up being a 4 and 4 or a 7 and 3. There's multiple different scenarios that, you know, you get kicked around or you kick around. It'll become obviously the utmost focus point, you know, for us between now and there. Like free agency, you know, generally does, you get prepared. We'll meet with our pro scouts. I think the hardest part is really trying to figure out not only your own, but trying to figure out the jockeying that goes around the league, you know, with respect to the other teams. You know, the devil's really in the detail. Like, when you look at what Vegas has to do, and there are parameters of what they have to pick, what they're allowed to pick. You know, again, so you try and do some prognosticating of your own who those players might be. We'll do several, and we have done, and we will continue to do several mock drafts. But, you know, I think it'll probably quieten down here right now from that perspective once the playoffs start. But I think you'll see as teams get eliminated throughout the playoffs, maybe a little bit more of conversations maybe going not only with Vegas, but, you know, side to side with different teams about different opportunities. It could lead to some, you know, some changes, but hopefully, you know, again, for us, you know, we'll find that right mixture that, you know, that we're comfortable with.
Would you ask a player to waive a no movement or no trade clause? Is that something you would do, or is that off limits for you?
No, it's not off limits for me, but I think that, you know, again, if I do or if I ever did, the player would be the first person to know before I'd ever, you know, tell any of you guys.
That captain you spoke about
says
that given some of the question marks coming into the year and how well those young guys played, feels like a bit of a wasted year. How do you respond?
Well, I think, you can't help but get excited about some of the youth that's here. I think whether you're in sports or whether you're in school or whether it is, when you have the potential to do something great, you want it to happen now. So, the players, Blake, they all play this game to try to get to this point, to try to, you know, win the Stanley Cup. And one thing that is very certain in this league, you do not know what the future holds. You do not. And for even whether you're a young player that wins a Stanley Cup at 18 years old and thinks that it's just going to happen each and every year, you may never get back there. So, for Blake, you empathize with those kind of players that lay it out there every night, provide the examples. But I think deep down you relish that opportunity, that knowing that, you know, how much you have helped those young guys is, again, you know, going to point them in the right direction. So Blake's passion, Blake's desire will never be questioned. And, certainly it's what drives me as well. When I sit there and, and I told a couple of the guys that I did mention, like when we sit there and do a contract extension, and I think I mentioned it when we talked to Buff last year, because I was obviously the most recent, when I sat there and talked to Blake during the time that we gave him his last contract extension, I gave them my commitment. I gave them my promise that I was going to try to, do, what's necessary to push this team, not only just to try to win, but to try to win the big prize. And that's ultimately what they want. So that's my commitment. And when I get a chance to speak with Blake, we're going to go over that as well.
Back to Paul. Other than the fact that he's on board with this, with the youth movement, can you provide some specifics as to what he's done to convince you he's the right man for the job?
Sure. I don't have a quandary of statistics in front of me here because, there's probably lots of positive statistics. I'm sure there's, we can all pick out some negative statistics because we haven't gotten there, to where we need to be. But, there's a certain dynamic that needs to take place between coach and a player when you are trying to integrate young players into a man's game. As much as we want to talk about, the youth in this league, this is still a man's game. Like this is for the, you look at the teams that are going to challenge to win here. Those players have gone through different processes of growth. And if you look at, I guess, how the league has changed over the course of time, whether it was the Joe Thorntons or the Stamkoses of the world, when they got their first opportunities to play, they played 4 minutes, or they, were a healthy scratch at every other game, or they went through those type of processes, and ultimately they've come out on the other side, being very, very good players and obviously potential Hall of Famers. For us, we felt that it was important that these young players were given opportunities to learn, to grow, to teach, like you would deal with your own kids, to be disciplined at certain points in time, but not to the points in time where, their confidence is crushed and you don't allow them to reach greatness. The defensive side of the game is a very difficult thing to teach. It comes with experience. And how do you get experience? You have to be given opportunity. And then it's what you do with those experiences. That's the job, I think, that Paul, has done. It's not as easy as people think, because there's lots of coaches in this game. It's a cutthroat game when it comes to coaching, and we're certainly at this, the industry can be very cutthroat, and a lot of times you will get the right decision might not be what's the best decision for you personally, but you have to do it because you know in your heart that's the direction that you need to go. And again, Paul's done it in that regard. But he's worked with them. He's taught them. He's demanded them. I've seen him, you know, I've seen him discipline them. I've seen him hug them. You know, I've seen, you know, those type of things. Is he perfect? No. Look, we're all not perfect here. But, you know, again, is he going to embrace this challenge and you know, move forward? Yes, he is.
You've been known at this time of year to give goalies a vote of confidence, even proclaim him your starter for the following season. Are you willing to do that with Connor?
Well, I think, you know, again, our goaltending needs to get better. There's no question about it. We've got, you know, Andrei Pavlik's contract is expiring. He's moving on. There's an opportunity in this organization for, you know, someone to emerge as the number one. I don't proclaim them the number one. I give them the opportunity, you know, again, when you have the contract, you know, that obviously Andrei had, you know, you're going into it saying, well, you know, he's the number one. For a player like Connor, you know, I think the sky's the limit. I think, you know, again, I think you look at it and you say, well, again, there's an opportunity for growth. Can he grow into being that number one? Yeah, for sure he can. But our goaltending needs to be better.
How much at all, if at all, do you put into the last seven games as far as your off-season plan and just your overall assessment of this season?
Well, I think, you know, whether it's the last seven or the first seven, it's one of 82 games or seven of, you know, the 82 games that you play. I don't think you, you know, for me, I don't evaluate it in the sense of euphoria from a standpoint of, well, you know, this is, aha, we've arrived. But in the same token, I think you'd be selling yourself short if you didn't look at, you know, the different opportunities that were there for players to excel. You know, we had players, again, that played through that stretch injured when they could have had the opportunity to not play. You know, so you look at, you know, that from a character standpoint. I think I look at, you know, even that last stretch on a guy like Patrick Laine and say, you know what, he looks a little tired. He looks like, you know, this all that hockey is catching up to him. And you know, again, you evaluate, you know, that and go there. So it's, you know, I think it's a dangerous thing to put too much stock in it. But I do think that, you know, again, you have to evaluate it on par with other things, you know, as well with the schedule.
And last thing for me.
Sure.
Have you begun contract extension talks with them?
So I've had some conversations with Mark Chipman. I've got nothing to report here right now. But, you know, I have had. I love this organization. This is an organization for me that we started a process, and I'd like to see that process through. So I'm hopeful that there's, you know, something at some point in time.
You
want Paul to answer? That would be an honest answer. Right. Ask him. He'll give you the answer.
Kevin, you spoke about all of your coaching staff and it broke it down. Is your expectation right now then that your coaching staff, the way it stands right now, will all be back?
Yeah, I anticipate that. I haven't, again, this is, you know, as many of the conversations that I think we have, you know, Paul and I haven't really sat down and dissected the season, but I don't anticipate any changes in the coaching staff.
In your mind, what's going to be the next step for this group? What's it going to take for this group to take the next step?
Well, you know, again, when we sit back and look at, you know, the year here, obviously, there's lots of things that I can spin in positives. And you know, if you really want to look at it, there are a lot of positives here. I think, you know, when we obviously got to 40 wins here. But the thing for us is I really wish there was a way that we could have maybe pushed more games into overtime or pushed them more into that opportunity to, you know, where you get that chance to maybe win that game. And that if you really look at it, and again, I think that, and I know when I talked to Matty Perreault there in his exits, like that was the thing that he said, like if we could have just gotten to an overtime and maybe you win that game, and then, you know, those are the type of things. So those are the type of things that, you know, you know as a coaching staff, or, you know, we'll talk to them and say, well, how can we? Like, how do we, shave a situation? How do we get one more win each month, or maybe one more win every 2 months? And if you look at that, you know, you're probably in the playoffs in this thing. You don't know where the playoff line goes each and every year, and that's the magical, mythical number that keeps on moving. But, you know, those are the things. Like, you know, again, it certainly stares you in the face. We'd like to be better defensively. We'd like to be better, you know, on the discipline side of it. We'd like to, you know, look at those things and say, can you, you know, find ways to incrementally, you know, get better. And I think we have gotten better in certain metrics over maybe periods of time. But you want to do it over the, you know, the course of time. Is it going back to practicing differently? Is it going back to, you know, again, the opportunity to have, you know, the you know, your full complement of defense? And you know, again, I got to be honest with you. When I looked and I sat there at the beginning of the year, you know, certainly when we got Jacob back in fold here, and you say, okay, you know what? You got, you know, we have five guys here. Well, four guys, I guess I said at that time, that are legitimate. And then all of a sudden, you know, like Josh, you know, played himself into that conversation. You're sitting there going, well, it's 10 games, it's 12 games when that was. But the consistency that he showed, you know, that was the player that we watched in junior and that we drafted. So, you know, again, can we teach this group? Can this group, with the experience that it's gained now, you know, cut down on some of those defensive things? Can they cut down on the goals against? You know, can they do that and continue to grow, you know, offensively, that, you know, Paul has allowed them to gain that confidence and have that confidence offensively? Can we do that? That's the next steps. Like, that's the things. Like, we're always going to be looking outside to try to add, to try to, you know, improve or push. But it's, you know, I don't think I'm going to find anyone to improve on Ehlers or Line A or Shifley or Wheeler. Those guys don't come available. Again, they grow organically over time. And I do think we've got some good young ones that can come in and push us, whether it's, you know, Lemieux or Roslovic or Connor. You know, I think we do have some good ones there. But as a group, we have to learn from this experience. We have to learn, you know, again, you know, when we get into a situation in the last 5 minutes of a tie game, you know, why didn't we, you know, get it to overtime, or why didn't we get that win? You know, and there's a couple of things that, you know, obviously when you sit there and you dissect the whole year, they you know, you say, oh, I remember that game, and I remember that game, and I remember that game. Or you're sitting there in the coaching staff's room after a game, you say, that one's going to come back and haunt us, you know, like. But, you know, again, that experience that is gained is invaluable, and it can never be taken away from you, but it's what you do with that experience moving forward, whether you're 30 years old, 35 years old, or 21 years old.
What did it mean to bring Tucker Poolman in, Kevin? And have you heard how his surgery went, the first surgery?
So I think Tucker's going to have his first surgery went well. I think Tucker's scheduled to have his next surgery coming up here in a couple of weeks. You know, again, bilateral shoulder surgery is not the easiest thing to go through, but Tucker was very adamant on, you know, accelerating the process of compacting the two surgeries closer together. So again, it'll be a long summer of rehab for him, but, you know, he's a more mature player than you're getting generally when you're coming, you know, out of college. He's, you know, he's played those extra years that, has allowed him to, you know, to grow and be a leader. So, you know, we're looking for some real good, you know, push from him, to, you know, to upgrade, you know, the back end.
Just last one about Maurice. Obviously, you did your due diligence and you knew him a bit before you hired him. What was the most important thing you've learned about him during this stretch of time since he's been the head coach?
Well, he's a leader. You know, again, I think from the very first moment that he walked into that room, you know, in the dressing room, you know, in the office, he's a leader. He's a genuine person. He's a communicator, but he's someone that, you know, again, there's a lot of guys that have to try to hammer you and try to maybe push you down to say, I'm in charge of you. Paul's the type of guy that, you know, when you sit with him and you talk with him, whether you're a player or, you know, whether you're just in a room, he pulls you. He wants to, you know, he wants, you know, to take you with him. And that's what leaders do. They get people to follow him, and that's, you know, that's what he is.
Fans have been really supportive and patient the last 6 years. So, I mean, what do you want to say to them about how the team performed this year and kind of what you hope will happen next season for them?
Well, you know, again, I think it should never, it should always be stated. It should never be understated, the passion of the fans that we have here in Winnipeg. And I think we're very fortunate. I don't know, we have some of the best fans in the world, but I think that, you know, they're going to get an opportunity to see a team that has grown, has, you know, the process was started, you know, from the moment that we took over, you know, the idea of what we were going to do and how we were going to do it, the seeds were planted. Now, those seeds took a while to germinate. They took a while to start growing because you can't, you can't force, some of these things. But I think, and I still remember this day when we, when I called back to Winnipeg here after we had drafted Mark Scheifele, and the draft party had a big gasp and went, huh? Then they cheered, but they were pretty excited. Now, those are the type of things that, we've said we were going to do, and now you're starting to see it happen. Those first 2 years, very difficult to try to integrate young players when you don't have them. So when we started to integrate Mark and we started to integrate Jacob and we started to, find different opportunities, when we made the decision to play Nikolai Ehlers and give him that opportunity, obviously when you get the opportunity to draft Patrick Laine, when a Josh Morrissey, starts, growing into the player that he is, when a Blake Wheeler commits to you, when a Dustin Byfuglien commits to you, when a Brian Little comes out and says he wants to stay here because he can see some things happening, when we've make, we take chances to try to push our team forward on the goaltending side to say, we have to make a tough choice here. We're going to, there's going to be some bumps, or it's not always going to be smooth, but we're going to take that choice. That's what we said we were going to do. That's what we have done. And as an organization, we have one of the best ownership groups in the league, because in the sense that they know that there's a plan in place and they know that we're going to stick to that plan. And that I think that the people, I think the excitement of the people, although there's disappointment today, the excitement of the people is, when they, I don't have to tell them that Patrick Laine is a good player. They get to watch it for themselves. I don't have to tell them, Nick Ehlers can skate like the wind. They get to watch it themselves. And, we have to put it together. We'll find a few more pieces. Those things are going to grow. And I think that's, I don't have to sell that to the fans. I think the fans can see that for themselves. Thanks very much, everyone. I certainly appreciate it. Look forward to, obviously, it'll be a busy couple of weeks. And when we get into June there, and I'm sure we'll have some conversations. So take care, everyone.